Sports Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening on this Wednesday morning. 251-343-0106. That's the text line. That's how you get in touch with the program. Coming up on the program, still to come, Congressman Gary Palmer in about a half hour. And from the Heritage Foundation, Lori Reese will be with us. So stick around for that. But join us now. Very pleased to be joined by our next guest from the Center for Immigration Studies. Guys do a lot of good work there. Really meaningful. It talks about how immigration impacts your life, both legal and illegal. Mark Recorian with us here. Mark, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for making time for us. We do appreciate it. So walk us through a little bit about CIS, what you guys do. You've been with them for a while. I mean, I know even when I was kind of following the immigration beat a lot closer, your name came up on these studies from time to time. But tell us a little bit about CIS.
We're a think tank, so we don't do the, you know, write your congressman now kind of lobbying stuff. And there's groups that do that, and that's perfectly a good thing to do. We're just in a different business. We do research and publication and hold panel discussions and all of that sort of thing, public education. And we do a lot of number crunching, and I have people who used to be in the administration who write about how the sort of plumbing of the immigration system works.
Well, let's talk about that. Right now, it's different than it's ever been, it seems. I mean, fentanyl and all the images of what you're seeing, the humanitarian crisis, all of that is jarring, to say the least. But the thing that I don't think we're talking enough about is the economic impact. I mean, it's a burden on the public infrastructure, the taxpayer. But it's also, later on down the road, maybe even more sooner rather than later, it has an impact on labor markets and things like that, the economy directly. At this point in time, I mean, it seems maybe as bad as it's ever been.
Yeah, I think so. And it's important, when you were talking about it, you're talking about numbers overall. In other words, it's not just an illegal immigration issue. Obviously, illegal immigration is bad because it's illegal.
Right.
But other than that, the effects that it has are the same as legal immigration. In other words, the issues for jobs, taxpayer, you know, issues, assimilation issues, security, all that. Legal and illegal immigration are sort of two sides of the same coin. And but we have looked at the cost of just the illegal immigration that just has come under Biden. So our estimate is that at least 1.3 million, the illegal population is increased by 1.3 million under Biden. You hear bigger numbers from the border arrests, but some of those people are sent back. So this seems to be a pretty solid number. And a different government report estimated the cost over a whole lifetime of different categories of immigrants. So what we did is we look at the cost of an illegal immigrant because they're less educated, so they don't earn as much, so they don't pay as much in taxes.
Right.
Multiplied them. Our best guess is that the lifetime cost to taxpayers, so this is including taxes illegals have paid, the lifetime net loss for American taxpayers of the illegal immigrants that Biden has let in so far is $100 billion.
That's just in Biden's term so far.
That's just the first 2 years, or not even the whole 2 year and a half worth. He's got 2 years left, and they're continue. And none of those people are going to leave. It doesn't matter whether they lose their asylum claims or whatever it is. There's no chance these guys are going to make them leave. And frankly, even if they say a Republican administration 2.5 years from now, a lot of these people are going to have kids by then,
right.
And you know, there's not many of them are going to end up getting deported. Let's face it.
I mean, it's an ideological, they're predisposed ideologically just against borders in general, but economically, maybe it helps them on the political end, but economically, it's the same old big business play. But it's not just like, okay, there's jobs that Americans won't do or all of that sort of pseudo-intellectualism. It seems like that you put pressure on all wages, right?
Oh, absolutely.
When you introduce an artificial labor supply into the labor market, maybe they'll work for cheaper. Well, you know, that next job doesn't have to pay as much because what are you going to do? Look, you just got this job. So there's a ripple effect throughout the economy.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, because, you know, if there were a one-time shock, if like one time we let in a million people from abroad, eventually that would kind of work its way through the economy and work it out.
Right.
But we take a million plus people every year from overseas. And so it's not like a one-time shock. It's a constant impact on keeping down wages and working conditions. And it's not, you're right, it's not just less skilled workers. It's not just construction workers and what have you, which is still pretty skilled work, but it's not stuff you need college education for. Remember a few years back, Disney laid off its entire computer staff in Orlando and required them, as a condition of getting severance payment, to train their foreign replacements that were brought in. So those obviously were jobs that Americans were already doing.
Right.
So, and they're relatively highly skilled jobs. So the fact is this, the impact here, the economic impact, is both at the lower level of education and jobs and the higher levels.
Well, we seem to have a, at least in the economy, how much do you want to pay for a head of lettuce? Well, I mean, you pay whatever the value of that head of lettuce is to pick and grow and all of that, including the labor cost. And if you got to pay a little bit more to legal workers, then so be it. But there is a there's a little bit of awareness not to even talk about it like that. You can't have people paying whatever a head of lettuce is these days.
But I mean, that's not. People make that argument
all the time.
It's complete baloney. There's an agricultural economist out in California, I know, who's sort of the guru of immigration and ag. And he said, first of all, the amount of money, the price of the head of lettuce that actually goes to the guy who picked it is not very big.
Right.
I mean, the farmer overall just gets one third, and then the labor comes out of that little bit. And this economist calculated, if you increase the wages of every farm worker 40% overnight, which is what Cesar Chavez years ago was trying to get, so he used that as a number, 40% increase, the average American household would see, I forget what it was, but it was like a $50 or $75 a year increase in their food bill. You wouldn't even notice it.
It's just this artificial element. But the cost on the other side of that, Mark, it's you know, you go to California and the roads, the infrastructure, there's more cars on the roads. There's more of a burden on the healthcare system. There's a heck of a lot more burden on the education system.
Electricity, water, everything.
All of this comes at a cost when you introduce more people into the country that's not necessarily prepared for it.
Absolutely. And, you know, it doesn't mean people are bad. It just means if you're adding, artificially adding people to your population, you're going to have, you know, you need water and sewer for people.
And they don't necessarily pay into the system. I mean, I know sales tax, and I've heard all these arguments, but there's a getting a handle on what's going on. And, you know, everybody has to pay their quote-unquote fair share. Well, if that's the case, I mean, there's just not a good way to do that.
No. I mean,
it's the system.
Because, look, immigrants aren't bad because they don't pay much in taxes. This isn't a moral critique.
Right.
It's just that
there's a reality, though,
illegal
right?
Illegal immigrants, especially, have lower levels of education than Americans. So the jobs they get, and they all work, don't pay very much. It's just the way it is. It also means they don't pay much in taxes because their incomes aren't very high. Because their incomes are low, they're eligible for more government services, whatever it is, free school lunch and food stamps and all of that stuff. When you add all of that up, there's no way bringing in low-skilled people into a modern society is a paying proposition. It has to cost money. And you have some libertarians and others say, well, let's build a wall around the welfare state. It doesn't work. And we're not going to let people die on the steps of the emergency room just because they're illegal aliens. We're a civilized country. I don't want to live in a place like that. But if you're going to live in a place where you have a sort of basic safety net protections, you can't just keep making more people come in who are going to have to use that safety net.
Well, you look at the situation now, it feels like it's worse than it's ever been. I mean, even worse than Obama.
Much worse.
And I talk about this all the time, comparing the Obama years to the Biden years. The Biden years seem far worse than they were during the Obama years. But I guess the unrealized impact of that, it's going to take a few years before we really see what this influx is going to cost and how it's going to change our lives, right?
Right, yeah. No, I mean, it's the way, there's always a lag there. And, the thing is that Biden's got two more years of letting people loose into the country. I mean, you hear a lot of big numbers, but our guess is that so far it's 1 million plus people, border crossers, illegal border crossers, that he has released into the United States. None of those people is ever leaving. Just whether they lose their cases or not doesn't matter. That's a huge deal. That's unprecedented. And it's even worse than that, because that's a consequence not of screw-ups. In other words, it's not that he's doing a bad job at the border. They don't think that their job is to stop illegal crossings at the border. DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas has said as much to Congress, that it is, and to reporters, that their goal is not to deter illegal crossings. Their goal is to anybody who manages to cross to, process them.
Right.
Which means let them go and they stay forever.
Well, and he's always been, long before he was in that role at DHS, he's always been kind of like he was from the less think tank world of immigration, right? Like, the borders are just a figment of our imagination.
Yep. And then they're morally wrong.
Too. Yeah, yeah. They are that people should move freely, and it's just not. This is how, if you look out throughout history of nation states, I mean, this is how they sort of go down when they introduce these large influxes of a migrant population, right?
And see, it's even worse than that, because we've had large influxes of people in the past.
Right.
And, they caused problems even back then. My grandparents came and all that. But we worked it out because our leadership class did not consider it their moral right to come here. In other words, it was a policy that we pursued as a country. May have been good, may have been bad, but it was up to us. What we're seeing now is that our leadership classes, and not just on the left, you see this with corporate people and libertarians as well.
Right.
They think that we do not have the right to say no to anybody. And that is unprecedented. And yet it is now gospel in the Democratic Party for elected officials. If it's a litmus test, if you disagree, you have no place in that party.
Does it ever, are there ever any, I mean, used to be Democrats were a little more hawkish on immigration, before Ted Kennedy.
In some respects, yes.
Right. Not anymore. I mean, there's no, I mean, this is kind of a political question, but you look at the American left and there's nobody that is really, well, maybe we need to rethink these policies anymore.
Zero. I mean, there may be individual, like a few writers and thinkers who are like
right.
that, but if you're talking about like people elected to Congress, big donors, heads of major organizations, absolutely nothing. And that's a serious change, because remember, well, people won't remember, but back during the 1986 bill, that Reagan signed, that amnesty.
Missouri, yeah.
Yeah. Well, there was a lot of back and forth for a number of years. The leading force that was hawkish on immigration, against amnesty for enforcement, the leading force in Washington was the AFL-CIO. And they've completely checked out. They've switched sides now.
Well, you know, they do this all the time on like a Fox News. You play Harry Reid's comments
from the 80s to
now. I mean, they have completely done a 180 on immigration.
And even more recently than that, I mean, Schumer, there was some, speech that Schumer gave.
Right.
I think it was like 2008 or 9 they taped it. And he was saying, well, no country can allow illegal immigration, all the usual stuff. I mean, he'd be canceled if he said
right.
this today. But... And, some of them may even mouth some of those same words. Oh, of course, we have to have borders and all that. But my question is, okay, whatever, you set your level of legal immigration. Let's say you want 2 million people a year instead of 1 million. Let's say 2 million. What are you willing to do about Mr. 2 million and 1? Let's say he's not a rapist. He's not a terrorist. He's just a regular
just a regular guy.
Are you willing to arrest, detain, and deport that guy without a lot of fol de rol and... despite whatever sob stories the New York Times may publish. Are you willing to do it? The answer is no. None of these guys are willing to do it, which means they are for unlimited immigration.
Mark, folks want to find out more about the Center for Immigration Studies. Tell them how to do so.
We're online at cis.org. That's Center for Immigration Studies, cis.org. We have a blog with new postings. You can sign up for occasional emails. We don't bug you. We don't ask for money. It's just, you know, what new stuff is going on. And for people who have a taste for snark and sarcasm, I'm on Twitter at Mark S., as in Stephen, Mark S. Krikorian.
Y'all check that out. Give him a follow. Mark, we appreciate your time this morning. Let's talk again soon.
Thank you.
All right, guys, we got to get a break in here. We'll return shortly. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Good times.